For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Tuesday, March 3rd, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a Problem in the Tech podcast network. Hey, folks, I'm live in Okinawa, and yes, having a great time. Got a lot to talk about tonight, so strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Konbawa, and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as I can be from Okinawa, Japan, via the Geek News Central portable studio. This is take number two. I was trying to do the show with the Ustream stream up live and running and had everything going, and I got 2 minutes and 45 seconds into the show, and the recorder stopped, so I'm solo. No Ustream folks today. It's actually pretty early in the morning on the East Coast. Many of you are probably wondering where the heck the show is. But kind of late start here. It's about 10 p.m. Tuesday evening in Okinawa, which makes it Tuesday morning for those of you on the East Coast. But got a lot to talk about tonight, a lot to catch up on. But for those of you new to the show, hey, welcome to the podcast. The show is normally recorded out of my beautiful studio in Honolulu, Hawaii, but I am currently in Japan. I'll be doing the next three shows here from Okinawa, so I hope that you sit back and enjoy the podcast. Of course, if you're not subscribed already, we encourage you to do so via iTunes or any of the other podcatcher applications like Zune Marketplace, or any other of the types of applications that will download podcasts. Of course, the RSS feed is available on the website. And make sure you sign up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. It'll cover all the stuff that I talk about today, and of course, all of the content that the listeners send in as well. Now, if you want to submit content for the show or have comments about today's podcast, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. For those of you that are, of course, part of the Ohana, I want to thank you for being part of the family of listeners of the show. I want to definitely give a shout-out to all of you and say thanks for staying subscribed, and thanks for basically keeping me going here with all your great comments and suggestions and feedback. It definitely helps, and I definitely appreciate it. Well, I tell you what, I left Honolulu Friday mid-morning, and as I told you on the last show, I had hurt my back last week Tuesday, and I was feeling not too bad for the flight. Everything went pretty well. I got in here into Okinawa, or actually into Narita, Saturday afternoon. Had a little bit of a layover. Jumped on a flight with ANA. Got down into Okinawa, I guess, about 9:45 or so in the evening. My wife's parents picked me up at the airport, ran me up to their house. Enjoyed the evening, rest of the evening with them. It wasn't much of an evening because I crashed. As you would think you would after flying that many hours, and I'm still actually dealing with a little jet lag, as you probably hear in my voice. But essentially, I was able to spend some time with them. Of course, Sunday morning, I woke to find out that my niece was graduating high school. Now, they graduate early in March in Japan. And so I was excited about that, went to the graduation, and let me tell you, I've never been to a Japanese high school graduation before, but they're long, very long, very boring, and for someone who doesn't speak a lot of Japanese, very boring. So anyway, that was an experience. It was fun. I'm glad I went, and I actually shot some video of it. I'll probably share with you folks at some point. But Yeah, it was a fun day with them. Went out to eat, of course, afterwards, kind of like a little mini family celebration. And then basically picked up my rental car. I had to head off to what I'm doing in here in Okinawa, doing a little consulting. Got in the hotel, got checked in late Sunday night. And was feeling pretty good Monday morning, waking up, back felt pretty good, so that was good. And been just cranking away here, putting in some massive hours over the last couple of days. Today is no exception to that, but promise I'd do the show, and hopefully the show has some good content in it. Tonight I had to really dig because what seemed to be a lot of tech news out, and I've had the old aggregator here burning for the last 36 hours or so, and but I got a good lineup of stuff for you tonight. And but of course, let's first of all take care of a little business before we get into the content of the show. And of course, this is what helps me do what I do, keeps the lights on. Of course, hey, if you're looking for a domain name, a shared server, a dedicated server, virtual dedicated server, GoDaddy.com. That's where you want to go. Check out their products and services. And when you pick up some items from them, when you get to the checkout counter, you can use the promo code TODD. And what that'll do is that'll save you 10% on your orders. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. Todd20 will save you 20% on 1 year shared hosting accounts. That's a good discount codes to use. Share those with your friends, family members, post them on your blogs, whatever you do, it helps me. And I greatly appreciate it, definitely do. And of course, GoToMeeting, longtime sponsor here as well, of course, sponsor over at techpodcast.com. And really, they've got a great product. You know, during these tough economic times, businesses of all sizes need to increase productivity and cut costs. And online meetings are a great place to start. GoToMeeting, brought to you by Citrix, lets you meet with anyone located anywhere, right from your computer, so you can do more and travel less. With GoToMeeting all-you-can-meet service, you can hold as many meetings online as you want without paying per-minute charges. Try GoToMeeting free right now for 30 days. For this special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. For a free trial. Hey, I also want to kind of turn you guys on to a new product that we're promoting. It's called GoToAssist. And this is kind of a unique product for those of you that may have a service business or you do technical support, especially if you're dealing with customers online. This is a great product to check out. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but GoToAssist.com/techpodcast. You can get a free trial on that as well. So check that out. No link on the blog on that. I'm just kind of doing a promo here on the show for it. But GoToAssist.com/techpodcast and check that out as well. Okay, what else have I got going here? I guess that's it on far as just kind of prelim stuff for the show today. Just kind of not a lot just going on. It's just kind of, you know, going. It's kind of one of those type of deals. But I am happy to be here in Okinawa again and get my business wrapped up here and then be back in Honolulu March 12th. So I'm already looking forward to actually heading home. The time here will go pretty quick, and I've got a lot of work to catch up on, so I'll be spending a lot of evenings in the hotel doing that, and it can just be a very, very productive trip for sure. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the content tonight. I got the Mac fired up, running Parallels, and I got FeedDemon loaded here. First article up is going to be over on Asa Dulzer's website, actually at weblogs.mozillazine.org. And he's talking about performance fraud. He's talking about Apple. And I'm going to read right from his post here. It says, Apple's got a pretty consistent reputation for exaggerating their marketing claims right up to the very edge of fraudulent, but never over the line enough to get penalized. He said Safari 4's claims are right there on that line. And he's basically talking about the JavaScript implementation. And it turns out that what they did is they did some comparisons on some browsers, and they were clever in that they did a comparison with Firefox 3 rather than Firefox 3.1, which has a much higher rating when it comes to JavaScript execution. So it is kind of interesting what Apple did there, but it's if you're using Firefox 3.1, they've got a performance rating of just a few milliseconds underneath Opera's rating, which is kind of curious because in their advertising, they show it almost half as maybe even a third as fast as Firefox. So interesting article here by Asa, and talking about this. Lots of comments on his blog about this as well. But hey, you know what? That's what marketing is all about, is being able to spin things your way. And I guess you can't blame Apple for doing that. And they did say very specifically Firefox 3, not Firefox 3.1. Sadly, you know, Internet Explorer, it's not even in the running, you know, compared to Safari or Minefield. It's not even close. You know, that's the sad thing about IE. You know, with IE representing nearly 47% of web usage, it's 10 to 20 times slower than all of the other browsers released. And that's just a sham. It really is. We'll see what happens with IE8, but they're predicting that it's still going to lag in performance as far as JavaScript goes by 5 to 6 times. So I'll have this, of course, this article linked up in the show notes tonight. A very interesting article on Wired talking about rewiring the brain. It's inside the new science of neuroengineering. And this is some pretty cool stuff here on what they're doing. They're getting to the point now where they can almost rewire certain parts of the brain. And they're doing all kinds of in-lab testing with brain tissue, and they're coming up with some pretty cool stuff. You know, humans and our brains kind of work a lot like computers do. So it really helps them, their understanding of how memory is stored, how we communicate, how the brain interacts with other parts of the body. And they're really taking a, I guess what they would call a pragmatic and direct approach. And it really essentially what they're trying to do is change brains by going in and just simply changing them. So we'll see what happens here. And of course, this is all cutting edge stuff. And I'm sure at some point, someday, we'll probably all be able to embed memory chips, get a little extra memory going on. But they're making some pretty wild advances here. And, you know, just goes to show you when they can sit down and actually image you and be able to determine what you're looking at, or actually guessing on a yes-no type basis, and, you know, going that far is detecting our thoughts. It's pretty scary. It really is how far they've come. Hey, a little bit of news out of the Capitol Records versus Thomas case that the RIAA has going on. The judge in Minnesota has, oh boy, he has entered a procedural type of deal where he's requesting an officer of the corporation or managing agent of the corporation to be at what do they actually call this? Is this where he's actually going to have his decision on the case, I guess? It's over the settlement authority. And he says that the folks from the RIAA, they're lawyers. They cannot be here. They're not the, even by proxy, basically putting their feet to the fire. And he's essentially saying that the RIAA cannot be the hitman anymore for, in this particular case at least, and that the judge will only deal with an officer of the corporation or managing agent of the corporation to work through the settlement on, or this decision is coming down on this Capitol Records versus Thomas case. People are pretty excited about this, and so, you know, I don't know what legal precedence this will have in the future, but it is show you that at least one judge has had his had it with the RIAA. All right, over on mttechhacks.com, they've come up with a pretty cool trick in order to do real-time Twitter searches on Google, and coming up with a kind of a cool way to do it. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. If you go to Twitter and you search the search.twitter.com and you enter a term, what is happening there is generally you only are searching the last 1,000 tweets, maybe with those specific words or something that you're looking for in there, which is quite a lot. But you know, Google goes much, much deeper and able to indexing Twitter, and I think we're going to see some pretty cool processes and able to find the results you're looking for. And I know you're digging your name, digging products, digging discussions on certain things, links to certain articles, who's talking about what. Pretty powerful stuff when you're looking at the entire Twitter sphere, I guess, of users. Article over on Engadget talking about worldwide cell phone usage hitting 60% and largely in developing nations. And I think this makes sense, because a long time ago when I was traveling more internationally, I spent some time in the Philippines, and I noticed there that just like almost everyone had a cell phone. And I thought, for a country that has as high of a poverty rate as they do, for seeing so many people on a full spectrum of wage earnings having cell phones, made me say, hey, they're really onto something here. And part of it has to do with the infrastructure of the country. If you are a resident in the Philippines and you want to order a landline telephone, you may wait years before one is installed. And I know for many times I would be somewhere and I would have to walk down the street to like a corner store where they had a phone to be able to call out, maybe wait in line and then pay extraordinary cost to call out internationally, because you know that person that owned that phone, they made a business of letting people use it because they were the only ones that had one. But cell phones have equaled the playing field here. And but they're saying that worldwide cell phone usage has hit 60%. This is pretty cool. It really, really is. And we'll see how far this goes. It just shows you that the landline business is very much on its way out. Hey, have you heard about Tweet-a-Watt? Yes, I'm saying that. Tweet-a-Watt, like in kilowatt. Well, Philip Terone over at Make Magazine, they developed a pretty cool thing. I talked to you guys about this product called a kilowatt. It's a device that you plug into any wall socket, and then you plug whatever you're going to measure electrical consumption with into this device. And I did it with my office, I did it with my koi pond, I did it with the refrigerators, and I figured out where we were wasting energy, and it basically really impacted our power bill with this device. And it's called, again, Kill a Watt. If you search for that on the internet, you'll find it. But Philip Terone from Make Magazine, he created this Tweet-a-Watt, which basically was a service which automatically updates Twitter with your power usage. And pretty cool little hack on what they did there in order to send updates via Twitter on exactly how much power you were using on the specific device that you were plugged into. So pretty cool. I have to hats off to Philip and the folks over there at Make Magazine for doing this hack job on this kilowatt device. And they've got a breakdown of the different types of devices that were submitted in this type. It was a basically greener gadgets competition that they had over at Engadget. Hey, lots of rumors coming out of Apple and the Apple fanboys. We're thinking here, that Apple may be coming out with some new products, possibly the new Mac Pro, The new an iMac is going to be increased with some additional screen sizes. The Mac Mini might be updated. All kinds of stuff here. So we'll see what comes out of Apple in the next day or two. Now, imagine you buy... How many of you have ever shopped at a place called Aldi's? I know that my grandparents shopped at Aldi's. And I went in there a few times, and I was very disturbed with some of the stuff that I saw on their shelves. I would say that if you go to an Aldi store, make sure you read the expiration dates on items. Make sure you really, look what you're buying. But a gal that went to Aldi's to shop bought some chips. She bought a bag of Clancy's Ripple potato chips from her local Aldi store. And that night when she was... when she opened the bag of chips, not only in the chips was potato chips, but there was also a greasy, nasty Nokia cell phone that looked like it had part of a belt clip on it. So, yes, some worker at this Clancy's Ripple potato chip manufacturer lost his cell phone. It went into the processing system and ended up in a bag of potato chips. That is just like the most disgusting thing I ever heard in a long time. I would definitely be, calling Clancy's Ripple Potato Chips and having a discussion with those folks. If nothing else, you probably could get a year's supply of potato chips from the company. And who knows what else? What would you do? You know, I'd love to hear from the audience members here. What would you do if you found a cell phone in your bag of chips? Comments on the show and on this article, of course, can be sent via geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Hey, the Pirate Bay trial is getting ready to wrap up here. The prosecution has rested. They have gave their closing arguments. So the defense will give their closing arguments, I guess, tomorrow. But essentially what the prosecution says is these guys are crooks. They are rich, and they need to be held accountable for allowing peer-to-peer stuff. You know, they're not going to stop peer-to-peer. They're not. They are not going to stop people from using peer-to-peer. It's just not going to happen. I don't care what they're going to do to this company or this group. If they shut it down, 25 more, probably Pirate Bay-looking type sites will pop up to replace it. It's just not going to happen. I'll be curious to see what the what ends up happening with this trial, but I have a feeling that not very much. But they are seeking, I guess, up to a year in jail for each of the quote-unquote conspiracy or the owners of the Pirate Bay. So we'll see what happens with this as it develops. I'm sure we'll hear some news soon. Hey, everyone, Gizmodo, they said, what is inside this huge mystery box? And this was posted on Monday, March 2nd, pretty late in the evening. So who knows, maybe... you're all waking up to an announcement by Apple this morning. But it's very funny. He says on here, there's a pair of tennis shoes there, Nike tennis shoes. I don't know if he's given clues or not. He says, it's not a TV. It's not a portable. It's not a something else in it. It's not a, well, gosh, kind of disgusting what they put on the, what it's not. But it's a, it's like a plywood box that, it's got some serious packaging to it, looks pretty big, and he put a Apple remote on top of the box. So obviously there's something here that Apple has going to be announcing. Maybe it's a whole slew of things that they're getting, but if the new Mac Pros are out, and this box is almost wide enough where a Mac Pro could go in there. Pretty exciting. We'll see what the folks at Apple have to say today. Hey, there's a good review on the Amazon Kindle 2. I know, you know, even I got on the airplane in Honolulu. I sit down. I had my Kindle there, my Kindle One, original Kindle. And the guy sat down beside me. I had gotten an upgrade to business class. And, you know, I've been asked about my Kindle more than any other device I've ever owned. Can I see it? Can I feel it? Can I play with it? What do you think of it? How do you like it? I like mine. I really do. And the Kindle 2, which I don't need to go out and buy because I already have a device, looks like it's got some pretty cool new features. But anyway, pretty good review on that. I'll have that linked up for you online. Hey, how many of you have dealt with getting documents, or you wanted to have a document translated into another language? Well, I have had some documents needed to be translated into Japanese recently, and I was looking for a variety of sites and really couldn't find a lot, so I kind of was arm-twisted, or, you know, kind of coerced my lovely wife into doing the translations. But if you need a quick translation while working online, there's a variety of different sites. I'm going to have a link up to an article that was on Robin Good's website at masternewmedia.org talking about a half dozen or so of different types of applications that will actually do the online translation into languages such as German, Japanese, Portuguese, Dutch, Italian, Hindi, and so forth. So this is a couple of these resources I could have used. I could have used last week for sure, but you know, I've had mixed luck with some of this stuff, because after I have it, I do some of these, you know, translations from English to Japanese. I hand it to my wife and I say, okay, honey, does it make sense? And, you know, she'll get to laughing and she'll have a red pen out. And the next thing I know, half the document's marked up and I'm like, okay, I see that went real well. So I don't think a lot of these services do that good of a job. If you've got a diehard website you use for translating documents from English to another language, I'd love to hear from you what you're using and what your success rate has been, and you know, what are the number of mistakes that you're finding in these documents, do you even know which mistakes that you're sending off to other people? Because some of the stuff, especially when you're dealing with a Japanese language, when it comes to katakana, kanji, and hiragana, if you use the wrong kanji, my friends, you could be well-intentioned saying one thing and actually say another and actually really offend someone. So be very, very careful. Hey, over on AdAge.com, there's a talk about TV everywhere as long as you pay for it. And this article really kind of irks me, because Time Warner, who is the largest owner of cable networks, including TNT, Cartoon Network, CNN, HBO, has decided that they're going to put a lot of their videos from their network online, and they're going to give people access to it so long as you are already paying for it through your local cable company. Now, Hulu, you don't have to be a watch NBC programming to go to Hulu and get access to programs. But Time Warner has basically come out saying, hey, if you're already not paying for this through your cable provider, you're not going to get access to our content we put online. You know, really dumb. You know, it really is, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that are canceling their regular TV services, maybe like keeping their internet service, and they want access to this content, but they don't want to pay. You know, that's going to this old monopoly and this old business model of, you know, paying for TV. You know, they're already running ads in it. Why do we have to pay for it? Where we're paying for the infrastructure. Well, how many of us are paying for internet connectivity and paying for big dollars for, you know, for that support of that data pipe? I guess it just boils down to one thing. They're going to get us one way or the other, and they have to figure out, just like the music industry has, that doing these types of things really will not work. All right, CrunchCare has a good article on a new personal video network system. And I think this is, we've all seen these wireless video devices, and they end up really being so-so and kind of cheesy in the video. But wireless webcams have been pretty difficult as well to set up. And I think what the folks over at Vue, V-U-E, Personal Video Network, have come up with a pretty exciting little product here. And it goes along with called the Vue, V-U-E, Zone.com. You can activate different cameras in your house. These cameras, the kit isn't necessarily cheap. It comes with two cameras, costs $299. The additional cameras are $99. Easy to mount, but they don't run all the time. You basically cue them to come online and look around via this view zone so that you can be away from home and look at different areas of your house. This is a pretty exciting little product here. There are no firewall ports open. The system operates under the standard port 80. And you just basically have to, you know, have enough upstream bandwidth to support watching the video that you're getting from the view zone. But I think, you know, with their caching technology that they're putting in place, that this probably will be pretty cool. Pretty cool little design. And they look pretty classy as well. And they've even got some cameras, a different variety of cameras that are almost like throwaway devices that you can put in strange places and record. Hey, over on TechCrunch, Michael Arrington has reported that he's back, and he had spent a month on Hawaii. Actually, he was over in Kauai, great place to really go and kick your shoes off and kick back for a month and really relax. And he was over on Hanalei Bay, and pretty quiet area, a lot of surf area, I guess. And but he's got a pretty good story on what he did over the last 30 days. But he's back, and he's going to be discussing in the near future on his basic upcoming decision how he's going to work within the TechCrunch group. All right, the Chinese have, you know, a couple of years ago, they launched October 2007, they launched their first lunar satellite. Basically, a satellite that orbited the moon. And I guess the lunar orbiter mission has ended because the Chinese have deorbited the spacecraft and crashed it into the lunar surface. So I guess it hit somewhere around the equator, and so they've splashed it into the moon. I don't understand kind of why they did that. It's kind of odd, but probably didn't have enough gas to get it out of orbit and go somewhere else. But they just basically go ahead and did an impact event with it into the moon. All right, you know these, actually seen these deals here in Japan as well. You know, you went to Radio Shack or you went to Best Buy and they had these netbooks where you could buy them for $100 as long as you signed up for a 2-year contract with a data carrier. AT&T, Verizon, there was a variety of different deals that were out there. Well, appears that one lady went ahead and she said, "Oh, this is a great deal. I signed up. I got the netbook for $100. I got the AT&T, you know, plan for 2 years." But she didn't read in the fine print that it was limited to 5 gigs per month, and she used her netbook a lot, and she received a bill for over $5,000 for her first month of service. She has sued AT&T over the issue. AT&T has fired back saying, "Hey, you should have read the terms of service." But can you imagine using over 5 gigs and then getting, how much bandwidth did she use to get a bill for $5,000? That's what I want to know. Had to be a lot. Over on bbc.co.uk, it's got some articles talking about pirate radio and how the government is cracking down on pirate radio in the UK. Be honest with you, I don't remember, or maybe I just didn't know, that I was listening to a pirate radio station. Have any of you had experience with pirate radio stations in your neighborhood where someone's broadcasting and, you know, basically running an illegal transmitter and with the potential of having the FCC come in and shut you down? I just didn't notice, but have any of you had any experience with pirate radio in your neighborhood? Love to hear from you on this, but the folks in the UK continue to crack down on those. They're saying it's a public safety issue. All right, open source usability, Joomla versus WordPress. This is a good one. Comparing Joomla and WordPress through the lens of usability, I guess there's a bunch of people on the Joomla side that are very upset. And you know what? I hate to say it, but if the shoe fits, Joomla is not a friendly CMS. It really isn't. WordPress makes it much, much easier to insert modules and plugins and so forth. I do not, you know, I have to agree with the article. Basically, from a, you know, usability standpoint, Joomla is nowhere near where WordPress is, and I think they have to work very hard to make it so. They kind of made the analogy that if Joomla is Linux, then WordPress is Mac OS X. So I know that'll upset some of you that are Joomla users, but I just don't see the usability there, and they're going to have to go a long way to convince me to ever run that platform. All right, imagine you buy some gas credit on PayPal. And I didn't even know you could do this. But a guy by the name of Juan Zamora, he bought $26 worth of gas using bought $26 worth of gas using a PayPal debit card. And he logged on to his PayPal account, the charge was $81.4 billion. And apparently he had to argue with the folks at PayPal for about 10 minutes to make them realize that the an $81.4 billion charge on his debit card, something was wrong. I think that would put a lot of us into almost a minor cardiac arrest. Okay, let me see here what else I've got. You know what? Like I said, kind of tight on articles tonight, so we're really short on content. So we're at the end of the regular content for the evening. I do have some email to go into. Love to hear you guys' comments. geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail 619-342-7365. I do apologize for the shortened show, but hey, it's just a part of the, you know, tonight going through and trying to dig through and get the content for the podcast and just not finding a lot of information that was out there. But I do have a number of emails for you. And let me load the first one here. Hey, I want to thank Sir Mac for sending the, hey, hope you get well better note. Hey, I do have to be careful. And I really, what I did is I let my guard down there on, walking slippery where it was wet. And I bit it big time. And I've been paying the price since. But, yes, I do have to be careful. And could it turn out to be a much worse, could have aggravated the injury or re-hurt myself in a different way. But thanks for the comment. Got an email from Stefan. He said, hey, Todd, I'm a long-time listener of your excellent podcast. He says, you're truly inspiration to what family-friendly podcasting should be. I wanted you to know that your efforts are appreciated by us here in the cyberspace. Fantastic, and I mean fantastic job in covering CES. I made it to the 2007 CES. I can tell you it's one tough event to cover. Every day I come home from work and look forward to hearing, watching your back channel coverage with Andy. As a holder of the title CowPress, Computer Owner Workshop President, I made it my passion to educate folks about the wonders of the computer world since the Commodore VIC-20 days. I'm 58 years old. I'm still amazed every day at what these machines can do to change our world. Anyway, to the purpose of my letter to you, I found a few websites I think you'll be interested in and wanted your thoughts on them. I haven't heard you talk about them yet. First of all, is a great music site. It's at listen.grooveshark.com. So I'll have that link course up in the show notes tonight. He said, and the second is a site that makes me wonder about privacy issues. It's privacyshark.com/Mason. So I'll definitely check both those sites out, Stefan, and see if I can give you some feedback on them. He says in here, give them a look. And if you think it's important enough to include them in the podcast or share them with others, please do so. I'm not affiliated with either site, but they're some of the newest sites I've found that just blow me away with what is available online. Again, thank you for all you do to help the online community keep up the ever-changing world out there, Stefan. And thanks, Stefan. I appreciate that. I will have, of course, these two links up in the show notes. You all can check them out at your leisure after you get the delivery of the email or come over to the website. Got an email from Evan. He says, "Hey, Todd, Hi, Todd. I have a question about the browser wars. Why do companies create browsers? How are they monetized? I can understand Google Chrome business model, using Google search to subsidize it. But how do Microsoft, Mozilla, Opera, Apple, and the little guys make money off them? I've researched this, but I can't find any relevant information. Any info you would have would be appreciated, Evan." I think what it is on the Firefox side is they're a part of a nonprofit organization, and the little search bar that you find on Firefox where it has Google, Google pays big money to have that that link there by default. So I think that's one of the ways they make money. I think the companies do it for exposure, help build their brand. I don't think it's all about the just having a browser to make money. I think it's one of these things, an additional service. You know, think about Safari and Opera. You almost automatically think about Mac. You think about Internet Explorer. You think about Firefox. You automatically think about a PC, even though you can use Firefox on a Mac. So, I think that's what they do. Also, you go on and say, "P.S., you've asked about what method kids are using to hide their iPods and cell phones." He says, "I'm sorry, but it goes against my principles to rat out others, even to a famous podcaster. Sorry." Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I appreciate that, and thanks for your comments on that. It's very good. Got an email from Michael. "Hey, Todd, do you have an answer for this? Firefox 3 is junk if you don't have a dual-core computer. I've been forced back to using IE. What's the deal with that? When you fire up Firefox 3, it takes up to 15 seconds to function without freezing. It's unbearable. I thought it was the configuration of the computer I was on, but on all the computers I installed it on that aren't a dual core, four in all, it acts the same way, sluggish and choppy. The two dual core machines I installed it done work good. This is going to alienate a large number of users on older machines. Does anyone have a fix for this? Thanks." And it's from Mike. So is there any suggestions out there for Mike? Or have we heard anything like this from the Firefox folks? Might be a good email for the Firefox support site. I get an email from Ron. He says, "Hey, Todd, Europe is working towards OLED lighting, cheap, large, transparent OLED light panels." I don't know if they're necessarily cheap there, Ron. The project is called OLED100.eu, and they sent us an interesting video worth a watch for some nice ideas, like an OLED chess set and future kitchen lighting with OLED. So I have this up there. He actually runs a website called OLEDTechInfo.com. Got an email from Trucker Tom. He says, "Hey, Todd, I thought this visual search engine was something somewhat interesting. It's at searchme.com. Again, it's a visual search engine recommended by Trucker Tom that he found interesting at searchme.com. Okay, folks, I am quite literally, I guess for a better word, wiped here. I got to get the show notes out and get this thing published and on the street. Actually, I'm kind of glad that we're not going a full hour and 15 minutes, but I hope you enjoyed the show. I'll be back with you, of course, on Friday for another podcast. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Hope I made sense. Hope it wasn't too rambly. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. And from Okinawa, Japan, sayonara until Friday. All right, everyone, take care. Aloha.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.